Well, before we hear God's word this morning, we're going to bow in prayer again briefly, so let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for every opportunity given to us, both to preach and to hear thy word, thy precious word, thy holy word. We ask, O Lord, that even now in these few moments before we hear it preached, that thou prepare our minds and our hearts to receive these things. Those, O Lord, who are spiritually dead, we pray life might be granted to them. They might truly hear thy word and thy voice, the voice of Jesus, for the first time this morning, the sweetness of it, the gentleness of it. And Father, we pray, Lord, that those, Lord, of us who have been in the way for a few years, for some years, we ask, Lord, that we might continue to listen, to hear what the Spirit would say to us. Help us, Lord, not to be those who are forever looking back to previous Christian experience, that these things might ever be fresh and real to us. So have mercy upon us. Help us now. Grant us light upon the truth. Open our eyes that we might understand the Scriptures. Give to us spiritual illumination upon the truth. And do it, Lord, purely for thy name's sake, thy glory's sake, for the good of our souls. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, I'd like to choose as my text this morning a verse from Romans chapter 1. A little earlier on, I read this chapter to you, written by the Apostle Paul, one of the epistles of the Apostle Paul, but of course, as he was guided to do so by God the Holy Spirit. And we're in chapter 1. I want to take as my text verse 17, which you may have gathered already. It's a very well-known text, a well-known verse to us. May the Lord help us to understand a little more about it this morning. So Paul continues this epistle. He's not all that far into it, by writing the following to these believers in Rome, to the church at Rome. He says, "For therein," well, in what? In the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, "is the righteousness of God," God's righteousness, "revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So for therein, in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Paul there is undoubtedly harking back to that minor prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 4, where it's written there that the just shall live by faith. Now, it was the Lord's Day morning before my holidays. I know that some of you here this morning on holiday. My holidays have ended now, I'm afraid. But the Lord's Day morning before my own holidays, holidays of my family, we continued here looking together at what I described as the new creation. And by that I mean what it is for anybody, for us, to become Christians, and what it is to be a Christian. What it is to be converted, what it is to be a converted Christian, converted individual. We continue to look at this subject and theme. And then we were looking together at the theme of pardon. Because every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been pardoned by God of all their sins. That's one of the blessings of salvation. One of the blessings of the grace of God. So we've been looking at some other things before that. We'd looked at regeneration, looked at conversion, repentance and faith. But then we were looking at this whole theme and aspect of pardon, the pardon of all of our sins. That's true of every single Christian this morning here, wherever they might be found throughout the world, and those who are in the glory. They're there because they were pardoned of all their sins during this life. And on that occasion, again, we were looking together at five properties of pardon, five things that belong to this, to the forgiveness of our sins. We saw that they were, first of all, that this blessing is first. Pardon or forgiveness is first. By that I mean, especially when you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul there writes about redemption. And there he says that one of the first blessings of redemption is forgiveness. In him, in the beloved, we have redemption through his blood. And then he immediately goes on to say the forgiveness of sins is the first great blessing of salvation, of redemption of our souls when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's first in that sense. Secondly, that it is something which is totally, absolutely and utterly free. It's of the free grace of God. We don't earn forgiveness. We don't purchase forgiveness. It's all of God's free grace. We receive it without money, without price. It became very pricey, very costly to God because God's own Son had to die and to take our sins and to pay the penalty of our sins that we might be forgiven for them. But in appropriation of these things to ourselves by faith, it costs us nothing. To be a Christian might cost us a great deal, might even cost us our lives. But to receive salvation is totally and utterly free. It's all of grace. You don't earn it, I don't earn it by works. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we saw that is something which is faithful. All of those that are pardoned, we need not ever doubt God that he's ever going to go back on this. No, those who confess their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not something he's going to go back on. It's something that he can be trusted for. We can believe him for. If we've been forgiven, we're always forgiven. It is something which is faithful and true of us for always, for eternity. Fourthly, we saw also that it's something which is full. God, when he forgives us, he doesn't forgive us just some of our sins. He forgives us for all of our sins, past, present, and future. They are all blotted out. They're all taken out of the way. They are all remitted. They are all taken away from us when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a full pardon. It's not a partial pardon. It's not a semi-pardon. It's a complete pardon of all our sins. Then fifthly and finally, we saw that this is something, because it's of God, it is something that is forever. It is everlasting. It is eternal. Again, it's not something God is going to go back on. We are forgiven forever. So it's a great blessing indeed. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian this morning. I wouldn't want to be anybody else except to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the reasons why. Because I and all those like me through grace and through believing in Christ have been forgiven and pardoned of all our sins. We concluded then on that occasion a few Sunday mornings ago by asking and challenging and searching our hearts and our souls by asking ourselves whether or not we have been, first of all, believed in Christ and freely, faithfully, fully and forever throughout all eternity pardoned by God. The hymnist says, fully absolved through thee I am. Fully absolved. We have a complete absolution from sin when we believe in Jesus Christ. When he died for his people, he died for their sins. He took all our sins upon the cross. We might be forgiven for all. So we were looking at that a few Sunday mornings ago. Now this morning, this Lord's Day morning, I'd like us now to continue, those of us who are regulars here, those who are not, just looking at this for the first time, but continuing here to look together at this theme of the new creation by now looking at this great teaching, this doctrine, this great blessing of the Bible that we read about in the Old Testament and in the New. I want us to look at justification. Justification by faith. Justification by faith alone. In the Son of God, a justification that comes to us from God, again, to make us right in his sight, to make us accepted in the beloved, accepted before him, to make us right with God. My dear friends, I've asked whether or not you've been pardoned all your sins. Have you been justified? Not justified by anything that you are, not anything by anything that you have done or are going to do or are doing, even by attending church. But have you been justified by believing in Jesus? Is the only way. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. No man is justified in the sight of the Father, in the sight of this holy God, as sinners, except through him. Have you been justified, my friends? Well, we're going to look at something to do with justification, because believers are not only pardoned, they are also justified. There is a relationship between the two. Perhaps justification encompasses pardon. There is forgiveness, but justification is more than that. Forgiveness is being forgiven of all of our sins. But in justification, not only our sins are forgiven, but also the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is imputed to us. Well, actually, here is a definition of justification for you. If you have no idea what justification is, before we look at it, it has been described, it's been defined like this. Justification is a judicial, it's God acting as a judge, in his law court, as it were. It's a judicial act of God, it's God doing something in which he declares once and forever, on the basis, not of your righteousness, but on the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ, in perfectly obeying his law while upon this earth, during his life, on the basis, on that rock, on that foundation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that all the claims of God's law, God's holy law, are satisfied with respect to the sinner and those who do come to believe in Jesus Christ. That's justification. A judicial act of God, never to be overturned. He declares, on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that all the claims of the law are satisfied once and forever with respect to the sinner. When we come on to look at justification, that is what we're dealing with. And that is a definition, one definition that's been given of it from a good source, from Burkhoff's Systematic Theology. Well, how are we going to look at this teaching this morning? We can't look at all of it, it's too big. But we can look at an aspect of it. What I want us to do is to look at a number of similarities that there exist between pardon and this. Because although these two blessings differ in a number of ways, and God willing, going to look at that next Sunday morning, they are to be distinguished and differentiated in other ways. These two blessings differ in a number of ways and are to be distinguished in other ways. They are very closely connected. They are in agreement and they are not to be separated. There are things that they have in common, in other words, and there are things that they share. Well, what are they? Well, the first thing is this. One of the things that this teaching of justification and pardon has in common, that they share together, that they're linked over, they have in common, is this. They're similar. That they are both all of our great and our almighty God. Both are of God. Pardon is of God. Justification is also of God. You're not going to find it from any other source, from any other person, from any other being. This is something that proceeds from him and from him only. If you're to be pardoned, you're to go nowhere else. You're to go to nobody else, no one else. If you're to be justified, go nowhere else. Don't go to nobody else. You've got to come to him. Because these things come from and proceed from him. What saith the scripture? The scripture says this. Teaches this, that it is only God. He is sovereign to do this. He is supreme to do this. He is the sole one that can do this. He is the only one that can forgive sins. Because sin is against him, you see. And if we're to be forgiven of our sins, he is the one who's got to declare us forgiven. And he's got to be the one who does something about it. And he's done something about it in sending his son to die on the cross. And he is the one who can declare us not guilty and pardoned. My dear friends, even the scribes in the days of the earthly life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ recognized this. Do you remember the occasion when our Lord Jesus Christ wrought that wonderful miracle upon the man who was sick of the palsy, and he was led into the presence of Jesus through the roof and into his presence, and the Lord Jesus Christ healed him, miraculously healed him of his paralysis. But then he went on to forgive him of his sins, and the scribes, in their minds and their hearts, said this within themselves. They said, why doth this man? They didn't see him as the Son of God, because as the Son of God, Jesus Christ could do this. He had the authority to do this, to pardon people of their sins, and not only to raise them up physically in a miraculous way, the power to do that. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? They thought it a blasphemy. Not thinking he was divine. It's not a blasphemy, because he was the Son of God and is the Son of God. And they went on to say, who can forgive sins but God only. Even they recognize that. Do you recognize that? That it is only God, this almighty sovereign God, that can forgive you your sins. Not a church, not a priest, or any other priest, but our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Only God himself, and no other way but through faith in Christ. So it's only God that can forgive us our sins, and it is only God that can justify us by or through faith. Listen to Paul in his epistle to the Romans, chapter 3 and verse 30. He said there to the Romans, seeing it is one God in three persons, one God which shall justify the circumcision, referring to the Jews, by faith, by their believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, trusting in his life, trusting in his death upon the cross. And it is the same God who justifies the uncircumcision, the Gentiles or the non-Jews, through faith, again by believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, we say this. This is God's royal or sovereign privilege and right. It belongs to no other. Someone like the Pope can't do this. His so-called church can't do this. The Roman Catholic priest can't do this. Only God can do this. It is his grand prerogative. Listen to this hymn, Samuel Davis. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are matchless, godlike and divine, but the fair glories of thy grace more godlike and unrivaled shine. And then he goes on to say this. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free to pardon us of all our sins as a holy God? Such dire offences to forgive, such guilty daring worms to spare. Here it is. This is thy grand prerogative, and in the honour none shall share. Angels and men, resign your claim to pity, mercy, love and grace. These glories crown Jehovah's name and his alone with an incomparable blaze. In wonder lost, with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God. Pardon for sins of deepest dye, whatever we have been, whatever we have done, a pardon sealed with Jesus' blood. Or may this strange, this matchless grace, this godlike miracle of love, fill the wide earth with grateful praise and all the angelic hosts above. If he has done this, you will be praising him and rejoicing in him this morning. But has he? Has God pardoned? Has God pardoned and justified you of all things by which you could not be pardoned and justified by the works of the law? By earning this yourself, Christ has done. That's the basis. And God has granted these things to you through him and through his grace. That's the second thing, isn't it? Both are all of God. And secondly, both of these things they have in common, they share, they have this similarity, that both of these things are all of grace, all of the grace of God. In the Beloved, in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, this is why we love him so much. This is why we want to serve him all of our days. This is why we're looking forward to being with him forever in glory. In him, we have, as believers, as Christians, not that we're going to have. No, we have 1 minute and don't have the next. We have, and we have forever, the forgiveness of sins. And notice here, Paul says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, according to the riches of his grace. It's got to be riches. It's got to be superabundant riches because we're such sinners. So many sins have to be dealt with. So many sins have to be forgiven and for which we have to be justified. We're in such a debt that God has to show the riches, the superlative riches, the superabundant riches of his grace in order that all these things might be covered. We might be made right with him. So they're both all of grace because pardon is of grace. And Paul also teaches that we're justified freely by the grace of God. Again, that same chapter in Romans, chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul goes on to say to the Romans, being. It is not as though they were and aren't any longer, although they can kind of skip in and out of grace. It's not this is something that was going to come up in the future sometime, a future blessing, but being already and forever and in an ongoing way justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul puts it again in Titus, one of his pastoral epistles, chapter 3 and verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So it's God that does this. And if we're Christians, we will recognize that and we'll give him all the glory that's due to his name. And if somebody is not a Christian, you can apply to him for these things because he's the only one that can bestow them. And we recognize also that this is all of the grace of God, that it might be all to the glory of God. We had nothing to do with this ourselves. It was all of his unmerited and undeserved favor towards us. We deserve to die. We deserve judgment. We deserve death, eternal death, the wrath of God, hell forevermore. But God has been merciful. God has been gracious. He's granted us these things. And perhaps that is why you're here this morning. You can test your profession of faith in Christ. Because if you think you've done anything, you've earned anything, my dear friends, your understanding of these things is very faulty indeed. But when you recognize it's all of God's amazing grace, my dear friends, that's right. That's scriptural. That's truth. That's scripture truth. The third thing that they share, pardon justification, is this. That both are of God, both are by his grace, and both, of course, my dear friends, are by the blood and by the death, and also by the resurrection of our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Because his blood of the New Testament was shed for this reason, for many, for the remission of sins. He said that when he was instituting the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, this is what he said, referring to the wine. He said this, he says. Not referring to it literally, being his literal blood, but a representation and symbol of his blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is as good as, because he was going to do this, which is shed for many, not for everybody. My dear friends, it's only for those who believe that these things are going to be true, but for many, for the remission of sins. By the blood. Forgiveness is by the blood. It's another lovely hymn. The Welshman William Williams Pantycelyn. That's where he came from. Number 486 in Christian hymns. It's quite a short hymn. It's a lovely hymn. Wish I knew Welsh to be able to fully appreciate it. But it's a good translation. He says there is a path of pardon. It's a lovely thing today, my dear friends. It's a Sabbath day. It's still a day of grace. It's a day when we can preach the gospel. It's a day when we can offer God's forgiveness if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a gospel. There is a way of salvation for you from all of your sins. You don't have to go to hell. Why is that? Because there is a path of pardon. But it's in his blood. It's in the blood of Christ. He's paid for it by his death. He's paid for sin by his death. There's a sure salvation in his blood. The law's full consummation. A father's approbation. Hear Zion's acclamation. It's in his blood. Atonement and redemption in his blood. The world hates this. They hate God and they hate this teaching concerning the blood. Blood and gore teaching, they call it. But Christians, we glory in the cross. Not in the unseemly way. But we glory in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, which the world is crucified to us and we to the world, and by which we have been saved. Atonement and redemption was in his blood, in his death, upon the cross, as 2,000 or so years ago. And Williams, in his second verse, says, "O come, ye sons of Adam, and rejoice. Trust the God of Abraham and rejoice. Hasten, happy sinner. Hasten. Quickly, happy sinner, to life in Christ forever, to bonds that nothing can sever. Oh, rejoice in full and glad surrender. Come, rejoice." My dear friend, will you not do this morning and make yourself happy? Make yourself blessed. Or the blessed is the man of these things are true. Make yourself happy forever. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just stay there. Don't just sit there. Don't just do nothing. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to this cross. Look to him. Look to what he's done. Believe upon him and you will be saved from all your sins. And you'll be saved in that moment that you believe. Because these things happen by that blood. And we are also justified by his blood too. Romans 5 and verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So if you've done this, if you come to him, if you've been pardoned, justified by the blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's not a bad test, is it? of our Christianity, of our profession, what do you think of the blood, my dear friends? Is it something which is distasteful to you? Something which you do not glory in and thank God for? Or is that the most precious thing, the precious blood of Christ and precious faith in it and Christ himself being precious to you? A fourth similarity is this, that both are for the same people. It's all or nothing, my dear friends. You have either both of these things or you don't have either. You can't have one, it's both. It's for the same people because it's the same people to whom God imputes righteousness without works, but will not impute iniquities or sins, but covers and forgives them. Paul quotes David in Romans chapter 4 and verses 6 to 8. He said, even as David has also described the blessedness, the happiness of the man to whom God, notice, not only God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. It's a wonderful thing about the gospel, God's salvation. It's very thorough. It's very complete. You'd only get part of the package. You get the whole blessing, my dear friend. Yes, forgiveness. One might say that is enough. Well, in a sense, it's not enough. Forgiven of all our sins. But Christ's righteousness imputed to us. As though we'd never sinned. As though we'd perfectly kept God's law. Justification. Just as though we'd never sinned. Just as though we'd perfectly kept God's law. We hadn't, but Christ did. But it's all given to us when we believe upon him. But it's both of these things. Indeed, there's far, far more. But it's not just a partial blessing. You either have all. This is a solemn and sober thing, isn't it? You either have all or you have nothing at all. You're either going to glory or you're going to hell. It's a very solemn thing, isn't it? All or nothing. All or nothing. A fifth thing is this, penultimate one. Both start and finish, both commence and are completed together in the mind of God, in their application to our souls. Pardon and justification start together, according to Acts chapter 13 and verse 39. And forgiveness and justification are completed together, Colossians 2 and verse 13. These things are momentary. These things are immediate. These things are instantaneous. In the mind of God, they happen together. And when they come to us, they happen at the same time. It's not something that's gradual, in other words. Sanctification of the Christian, God delivering us from sins, pollution and power, goes over a period of time throughout all our lives to death and to glory. But this, get another glorious thing of the gospel. It's straight away. It's in a moment. It's in the twinkling of an eye. It's the moment you believe. It's the moment you receive Christ. You're fully forgiven of all your sins. And God justifies you in his sight. And you're right with him. In other words, my dear friends, one moment you can be sitting in that chair in unbelief, unforgiven, unjustified, ungodly, unjust in the sight of God. The next moment, you look to Jesus Christ truly, soundly converted. Next moment, you're right with God. What a change. What a sudden transformation. What a God you and I have. And what a gospel we have, my dear friends. We shouldn't be quiet about it. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should be like the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, because he knew the moment any Jew, the moment any Gentile believed, they'd be right with God, accepted in the Beloved. What a remarkable quick change God can work in our lives. What a sudden transformation. And finally, this is something that both are received by or through faith alone. It's by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that we receive forgiveness. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the Apostle Paul, commissioned him to go to the Gentiles, and told him this is the reason he was to go. He couldn't do that himself, but as a result of going and preaching the gospel, this is what was going to happen. He said, you're to go, to open their eyes spiritually. They might see these things, that Paul. They might understand the gospel. They might believe these things. They might turn them from darkness, the darkness of sin, and the darkness of the God of this world and of his kingdom, to light, to God, to truth, to the kingdom of his dear Son, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Paul, as a result of you going, preaching the gospel, they're believing it, they can receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified, and notice here, by faith. How important is that? It is all by faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. And also we're justified by faith, that famous quotation in Romans 5, verse 1, and then I'll quote 17 and 18. Being justified by faith, we have arrived spiritually. Not that we might be proud of ourselves, but to boast in our God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one Jesus Christ, the free gift came, and it came by faith upon all men to justification by life. A final hymn for you, another one of William Williams. He puts it like this, again, just two verses, but they're wonderful verses. This is us by nature, and then we see what we are by grace. In Eden, sad indeed that day, my, our countless blessings fled away. Our crowns fell in disgrace. Ah, but on victorious Calvary, that crown was won again for me. My life shall all be praised. So here it is. How? Faith. Saving faith. We're going to be looking at faith tonight. The different kinds of faith. But this is the faith you need to be saved. A saving faith. Faith, see the place and see the tree. Where heaven's prince instead of me was nailed to bear my shame. Bruised was the dragon by the sun, though two had wounds, there conquered one. And Jesus was his name. It's by faith, dear friends, that we are forgiven. It's by faith alone that we're pardoned. It's not our faith that saves us. That's not the basis of our being right with God. But it's through faith. It's through this instrument of faith that we receive all of these blessings, and we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. A wonderful thing by faith to lay hold upon Christ and a look to see him and a look upon him with a saving look. It's what happened to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. That's why he preached Christ crucified throughout the rest of his days until the day of his death. That's why men like John and Charles Wesley, in their hymns, so it's crying, behold, behold the Lamb of God, because they believed themselves and they saw all of these blessings came to them from God by that instrument, by that channel, by that gift from God. So we've looked at the new creation this morning, this aspect of it, justification and pardon, these similarities between them. To finish, closing challenge, my dear friends, before God this morning, we're gathered. You're not just before me, you're before him. You'll not always be here. Life is passing by, death is coming, eternity is coming, the judgment is coming. Before then, ask yourself this question. Has God, by grace, by the blood of Christ, at the same time, by or through faith, pardoned and justified you? It's a wonderful thing for somebody who's been condemned for something, to be pronounced innocent, not guilty, no longer under condemnation, no longer under the sentence of death, or terrible penalty. It's a wonderful thing for you and me to be pardoned, no longer under the sentence of hell, that Damocles sword over us, but to have it all removed, and just to know the Lord's blessing upon us and upon our lives. Do please consider these things today. Don't let Satan steal these things away. Meditate upon them. Give yourself wholly to them today. And this week, if you have some spare time, reflect on these things and make your calling and election sure. Because these things are too important to be careless over. These things are too important to neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, such a great gospel, such a great redemption? By the Lord, have mercy upon us.